Chief, our next presentation is from Judge O'Malley on Alameda County.
Thank you, Chief, and thank you, Judge Rubin. I am happy to report on my neighboring county, Alameda County. During my tenure on the council, I have been the liaison to Alameda County through their last two presiding judges, Judge Don Clay and now Judge Winnie Smith. And you all, well, some of you will remember, Winnie Smith was on the council not too long ago with us. And so it was nice to visit with her and see her perspective of now being a presiding judge after having had her experience on the council. Alameda County has a wonderful tradition of gathering all their judges once a year to meet and to kind of educate themselves, give themselves updates, whether it's technology, on the law, security. And they've been gracious enough to invite me as a speaker on behalf of the council on each one of those occasions that they've met over the course of the years. It's not really an opportunity for me to meet with the PJ and the CEO as far as this report, but they've always welcomed me as a member of the Judicial Council to answer questions, give them an update as to the Judicial Council activities, projects. The budget, of course, has always been of major concern to them. And it's just been a wonderful, very open-armed type of kind of welcome that I've received from Alameda County, and I really cherish those days when I've been able to go and speak on behalf of the council on those meetings. It's a remarkable bench. They're considered a large court, even though it's, you know, they're somewhere around between 75 to 80 judges. They are right now in a position of about four vacancies, and Judge Smith thinks that they'll be up to six by the end of the year. And so for a court that size, that many vacancies does have an impact. It does make a difference. So they're anxious for the governor to be able to vet more names and fill those slots, because it does make it very hard to take care of the workload of the court. Their budget impacts over the course of the years that I've been the liaison, for instance, their time from filing to trial for small claims cases has almost doubled. It used to be about 60 days, and now it's over 100 days because of the cuts and the delays that they've had to deal with. The time from filing to hearing of domestic violence cases has increased as well as civil harassment cases. And those are the types of cases where you need to be heard right away. You need to get in to court as soon as you can, and they just can't keep up with the workload, and they can't do it as timely as they'd hoped. And so sometimes people have to wait as long as 23 days. And that's just, you know, a tough way to be able to do business. They no longer provide court reporters in civil cases, as many of our courts have had to make those decisions. And Alameda is no exception to that. The clerk's office, of course, the hours have been reduced. They've had to close the windows from 4 o'clock to 2:30 over the course of the last several years. However, Leah Wilson, who, as you know, was an alum of Judicial Council staff, is now the CEO of Alameda County, and she's trying something new, a pilot program for their civil windows. And she's doing kind of a flex. Some folks will come in and work from 7 to 3, and other folks will come in and work from 9 to 6. And hoping that this can cover, at least for just the civil windows, this workload to keep those windows open till at least 5. She's hoping, maybe, depending upon how things go, 5:30. But again, it's just a pilot program for civil. So family and criminal and all those windows are still shortened hours, and is not going to be remedied anytime too soon. But she's anxious to see how this pilot program in civil is going to turn out. With regard to staffing, like anybody else, Alameda County's down 30%. They have at least 80 vacancies with no plans to fill them, and they just don't have the funds. And with the new WAFM formula, Alameda County is a donor court, and so they, you know, reluctantly, but agreed, because they knew, you know, that's the game plan for everybody to be able to make it here with the budget that we've been given, to, you know, go by the WAFM formula. I know that when I met with them, when Don Clay was the PJ, they were really, really concerned about that. And And now they're, you know, unfortunately having to live that life and go through that, but they're really working hard at being creative and trying to do things in a way that they'll be able to stretch the dollars that they do have. And Leah, you know, she's a think outside of the box type of person, so she is coming up with new and innovative things. And with Winnie Smith, her PJ, and our own beloved Morris Jacobson, who's the APJ, they're going to come up with ways to be able to keep that court functioning in a way that only they would want it to. With regard to case management, they have contracted with Tyler for an Odyssey case management system, and they'll be deploying it for all case types other than traffic in a 30-month period. So they're really on the fast track for Tyler and very, very excited about that. Another major kind of change that they've brought on, and again, to be innovative and not to cut out access to the public, they have reorganized all their self-help services. And so they have moved their ADR, their Justice Corps, their self-help, and one of their research attorneys under a new unit that the Office of the General, in a new unit within the Office of the General Counsel focused on public-facing legal services. So they're very excited about that new program and hope that that's really going to take off. They expect that the merger is going to result in centralization and increased services for self-help litigants in both civil and family law. So they're really excited about that new program. It's a program that's familiar to those from Orange County. So they're kind of mirroring the Orange County program. They've also started charging for online access to their civil cases, their civil case management system, which Leah pointed out to me that has come with some controversy. But again, you know, they're having to do what they have to do to really get by. And so that's one of the tough decisions that they had to make. At some point, you know, they just can't keep operating with this significantly reduced staffing. It can only last for so long. And so for the long term, it's definitely not the answer, and it's not efficient. It's not something that this court wants to live with or can live with. So funding at some point is going to have to be realized, and hope that the governor can, you know, see that, and the Department of Finance, because courts just can't keep working on the reduced staff to get the workload done that they're faced with. Facilities. Good news. On September 17th, the East County Hall of Justice will have their groundbreaking.
Finally.
Yeah. They hope to occupy January 1st, 2017. It will host 13 criminal courtrooms, and it's just around the corner from the jail. So perfect location, great locale, easy to get the inmates there. Don't have to load them across, you know, the entire county to be able to get people to their court dates. And that'll make it much more efficient for both the sheriff and security as well as court staff. And so they're very excited about that. They still have a number of older facilities. And the older courthouses absolutely have their challenges. And it's unfortunate, but the county or the court had to use up a lot of its reserves to just make essential repairs to the buildings that they have. I mean, that's how they had to use their reserves. Problems were the bathrooms in the old facilities. None of them are ADA compliant. The heat is a problem. They have major heating problems. They have many, many, many leaking pipes, and I'm not just talking about a few little drops here, major, major leaks in the pipes. And they've had elevator stoppages where they have had transportation deputies and inmates stuck in elevators for hours at a time. So it's just not like, you know, it's a little slow moving, or that it's, you know, the little squirrels are running as hard as they can up the lines and down. These things just lock down, and you've got, you know, people in a dangerous situation in these elevators stranded for hours. So it's just not acceptable. And so again, the court has unfortunately had to use their own very, very precious reserves to be able to take care of some of these necessities. Also, I have to say, Chief, in going out, it's been my honor to be the liaison also to Santa Clara. it is such a wonderfully run court with Judge Walsh and, of course, Mr. Yamasaki. And it's been wonderful. I've also been invited to lunch there several times to be able to go and visit and chat, and as well as Sonoma. It's just a wonderful program that you have here. Courts really do appreciate it. They love to hear from members of the council. They also like everybody to know what's going on with our court, and very much appreciate it. And Morris, if you'd like rebuttal, you may have it.
Why, thank you. I would just say that your report is very accurate based on my perceptions and what I see on a day-by-day basis. And in particular, the thing that is stretching to a breaking point is the short staffing. We've, over 5 years, we've gone from 950 employees to about 675. And we have a daily problem finding enough courtroom clerks. I really envy San Luis Obispo County if they can put two clerks in a courtroom. We're having trouble getting one. So our staff is stretched thin. We're starting to see stress-related things that flow from that, people calling in sick more than they used to. We have a helter-skelter with our staff issues with court porters, court clerks in particular. That's an ongoing thing, but your report's very accurate. Thank you.
My privilege and pleasure to be able to be the liaison to Alameda County.
Thank you, Judge O'Malley. Judge Herman?
Yeah, and just one, sir, rebuttal. Morris, actually in San Luis Obispo, it's not a matter of them having two courtroom clerks. They take an operational clerk that normally would be taking a transaction from the courtroom clerk and entering into the back office. They put that clerk in the courtroom, so they have both the courtroom clerk and the operational clerk.
And for sir rebuttal, we don't have backroom clerk staff either, so we're really short.
Submit it, Chief.
Well, I'm glad we're having this chat. thank you, Judge O'Malley.